Let's extend greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He who has risen from the dead, conquered death and hell for us, so that we could now be free to follow Him. What a blessing. Thank Him for His grace that He extended to us to call us to be His servants. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You, Lord, and we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, for revealing Your goodness to us. Your mercy. Lord, we just ask that You'd help us be faithful to You, Lord. That You'd lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Father. Thank You for the provisions You've given. Help us not get confident in them, Father, and become overcharged. But Lord, help us, Lord, that Your will would be done on this earth, that Your kingdom would come, that You might receive all the glory and honor. Lord, fill us now with Your Spirit, God. Give us wisdom as we open Your words. Help us hear Your word, Father. And Lord, apply it in a real way, Lord, in our lives. Again, we just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 1. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him to who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we also shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto evil every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This morning, I want to think just a little bit about our responsibilities. I've been thinking a little bit just about some of the generation in this country. They call them the Great Generation. And I've heard a story or two lately about some of the older men that grew up in much harder times than we have now. And it's just encouraging to me, just for that one little idea of the character that instilled in a lot of the men. Not that they're Christians, not that they're following Jesus, but just a general character of being a good man, being responsible and taking care of your own things. And I've thought about that a little bit, and I've thought, so many people, they talk about whenever men are going to war, they are looking for fighting men. Men that fight for freedom. And I just thought about that for a little while. And, you know, men that fight are a dime a dozen. It's not hard just to gather up men that fight. And that's not what makes people a good people, just because they have people fight for them. I mean, anybody fights has somebody to fight against, good or evil. They can go to certain places and someone can stir things up and have everybody fighting mad. But that doesn't make you a person of character or a person with good qualities. It's not just because people fight that there's freedom, as they call it. But it's because good people are taking their own responsibilities. It's because there is a responsibility with freedom. And freedom without someone who's responsible is absolutely worthless. It just turns into slavery. And that's what we see going on all around us. There was a time that men were faithful and responsible, and they produced a time that we're living in now in this country where there's just what they call freedom without any responsibility at all, other than putting in a couple of years in the military. That's all they see is their responsibility. But that is not anything to build on. The reason I said all of that is because our Christian life is the exact same way. To be free in Christ is a great responsibility. And it's laid upon our shoulders to be responsible for the gospel and what God has given us. In the Old Testament, we have the example of the children of Israel. And they had to fight to get the land of Canaan. God won the battle for them, but it wasn't until they took the battle upon themselves that they stood up and were what they were supposed to be. And they had to go to war. And they had to do the fight. They had to fight. And little by little, they purified the area. They secured it as Israel for the promised land. But it was all with a battle. They had to fight every step of the way. And I think that's a picture of our lives. We all have battles. We all have things that we still struggle with and still fight with. We have to still conquer the land. I think Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." It was an area that had never been conquered before. And he was an old man. And he wasn't just waiting for someone to give it to him, or waiting for God just to hand it to him on a silver platter. He said, "Give me this mountain. Let me go have it. Let me go take it. I want it." And it was land in his, just a picture, it was land that was unconquered in the promised land. And in our lives, there's hills and there's mountains, and they may look huge to us. But what's our attitude? "Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right." Or is our attitude, "Give me this mountain. I want to whip this thing that's troubling me. I want to whip this thing that I keep struggling with. I want to have the courage and the determination to take this mountain also. And expand our coast of our souls instead of just being content with dwelling in the well-watered plains." We find that Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. And he just barely got out with his life because he chose the easy path instead of saying, "Give me that mountain," like Caleb did. That's why Caleb was one of the only ones that made it into the promised land, because he wanted to expand his coast, the coast of his soul. And that's the picture that I want to see. The war that we're in for our own souls is right in front of us. And we need to conquer those mountains. We need to keep fighting until the Lord returns. There's a responsibility that comes with freedom. The battle is the Lord's, but we have to fight. We can't do this on our own. It's there. The giants are bigger than we are. Satan is much more powerful than we are. He can destroy us anytime that God would let him. But God keeps us and helps us to be faithful to him. He keeps us as long as we're fighting the battle. This last verse we read talks about those that recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Whenever we're under Satan's power, we're under his will. And we are taken captive at his will. That's a dangerous thing, a dangerous place to be in. But when we're fighting for the Lord, we can be on his side. All right. I wanted to share that with you. just for a little bit, as a little bit of a foundation, to take the mountain that's in front of you. I want to use this time a little bit as we've got some brethren that are moving, that are going to go to South Dakota. Encourage Brother Joe there. I want to take this time as a little bit of a challenge to them, to Wilbur and Colby and Ryan. I want and to their family. I want to take a little bit of time for that, but I want everybody else to look at the same thing too. That we are in a war. That I want the things that I'm going to say this morning, I want you to apply them to yourself. I'm going to challenge you. Hopefully. I'm going to try to point out some things that you need to be aware of, that you're in danger of. Not only to those that are going, but also to those who are still here. It's for all of us. We're all in the same battle. They're just changing locations for a little while. But I want to use this verse that I read, this chapter that I read this morning. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me and among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I want you to learn and remember the things that you've learned. And be able to teach them. And commit them to faithful men. Then it says, "Thou shalt endure; that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That's not just to those that are leaving. The danger of that is to those who are staying. It being entangled with the affairs of this life. Be like a soldier. Soldier gets called to go here or there. He has to leave, uproot himself and go. Beware of just getting your roots planted in the ground. Remember, verse 8, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. If we be dead with Him, we shall live with Him. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll deny us. He can't deny Himself. We need to remember these things. As we apply some of these things to our own lives, God is looking for people of character. That's what I appreciated about some of those stories we hear of men who sacrificed for this country. They had to work hard. They suffered. But it built character in them. And they were men of character. And if there's anything I want, to establish in you and in myself is that you would be a man of character or a woman of character. More than just what appears on the outside. That your character, your goodness, and your grace, and your kindness, and your love, and your temperance, and all of that would be more. Your purity would be more than just what you see on the outside. But that it would be a very part of your being. That it would just be bubbling up from inside you. Not because you're just waiting for God just to change you and just pray and pray long enough until He makes you different, but that you would take the mountain that is before you and root out all that doesn't belong there so that those things could become a part of you. That those things would be who you are. Character isn't skin deep. Character goes all the way to the heart. And that's what we need. Men and women, young people of character. We heard these examples of these men that stood alone. Our character is who we are when no one else sees us. If we're just looking over our shoulder all the time at the way we live, if we're just looking over our shoulder, wondering if somebody's going to be watching me the way I live, that's not character. That's hypocrisy. Character is you being able to be yourself and everyone else can know who you are. That transparency that we talk about here. That we can know one another. That we can be who we are because who we are followers and soldiers of Jesus Christ. That goes deep. And that's where the heart of the whole matter is. And that's what I want to talk about. I want that kind of character built in you. Foundational. Built on Jesus Christ. Built on being like God wants you to be. Being the man God wants you to be. Being the woman God wants you to be. Having that kind of character and taking those kind of mountains is hard. It's having to hear some things that you might not like to hear about yourself. But instead of getting mad about it, you fix them. Instead of getting all upset and crying and having a big pity party, you get rid of it. You look in the mirror and you see what's wrong, and you fix it. That's how you build that character. That's how you take those mountains. Whenever someone says something about you, or you hear someone saying something bad about you, you don't get all offended. Whenever you hear someone saying something about your children, or your wife, or your father, you don't get all offended and mad at them. You try to fix the problem. And if there's something you can do to help someone else about it, you fix the problem. One of the things I heard about one time, or I heard a preacher preach one time. He was a bishop in the Mennonite church, well respected. And he preached a message one time, and he said, "I could pick out 6 flaws in every one of you." And he was trying to get people to work together. He said, "I could pick out 6 flaws in every one of you." And he preached this message about that. And after the message, there was 2 or 3 people come up to him with notebooks and said, "Tell me mine." And he said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to do that. Because as soon as I start doing that, you'll start putting them back on me and be telling me mine." That's all messed up. We need to know what our flaws are. We need that friction that sharpens iron to iron. Not that we're going around looking for flaws in people. That's not what it's about. Not just spending all our time looking for something to reprove somebody about. That's not what the Bible wants for the church. But when something does come up, and someone does have to come to you with something, or you hear somebody say something, let it sharpen you. A lot of times those things, Marx's dad used to say, you'll either burn in or you'll burn out. It'll either burn in or burn out. If it burns out, it gets fixed. If it burns in, it just makes you mad and you get bitter. Let the Word of God lift you up to be higher than where you are right now. Claim the mountain that hasn't been claimed yet. And you just start fighting for it. And you keep fighting for it. You may fail. You may fall. You may fail. You may fall. You may fail. You may fall. For years. But keep fighting. There's countries that have been in wars for years. They went a little here, went a little there, but they're still fighting. Why can't we do the same thing with ourselves? Instead of just waiting around for God to do it, get up and fight. God is looking for men and women of character. You think, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Well, until you get this right, you don't have nothing. You don't have a thing. God is a foundational God built on solid things. And if you can't do what every other man in this world has to do, He's not going to give you anything spiritual. Paul talked about working with your own hands. The Bible says we'd earn the bread by the sweat of our face. There's labor to be done, and we need to learn how to work and work well and do a good job, but not get entangled in it. There's a real fine line. There's a battle of being able just to be solid and faithful without getting all caught up and getting tied up in that. We need to be able to just lay it all down if we need to and go on. But until we learn the basics, we can't even take the next step. Nevertheless, the Word of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Flee those things. Verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee those things. You young men, Bible says, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. And don't put too much on a novice or someone who's new, lest they be lifted up. We've sent people before, and they got lifted up. They got lifted up. And he's took his wife, one man, and drug her out. And she's crying every day at where she is right now. She never thought they'd be there. And it's pride. It's all about pride. You young man, you're learning. You can do things more than most young people in the world. There's one thing that'll destroy you, and that's pride. Thinking that you're something. Pride is not a part of character. Pride destroys character. Humble yourself. You be quick to listen to older people. Even if you think you know better, let it humble you. Let people criticize you some. It ain't going to hurt you. You learn to live with it. Bible says those that keep His laws, nothing shall offend them. Who can do anything to me that God doesn't allow? Those that keep His laws, nothing shall offend them. They don't get offended when someone speaks evil of them. Shame on you to speak evil of someone else. But if you're spoken evil of, bless them that curse you. Just want to encourage you. Don't get all puffed up. Don't get proud. You just do your job. You just do your duty. And there is a great deal of God's grace that has brought you to where you're at. I think sometimes I just ask myself the question, why? And I think it's good to do this. Why, God? You see the multitudes of people in this world that don't care about anything but pleasing themselves. Why do I care about God? Why do I care? Why am I any different than anybody else? I've told many times, the men that I used to run around with when I was in the world, almost all of them are dead now. They lived fast and they lived hard. And they all died young. That's what I wanted. I seen their fast, glowing, shining, sparkling lives. The fun, the pleasure. And I don't know why God called me out of that. I don't know why God let me hear Him. And I don't know why God chose you to be in a family that God that trained you the way you're living now. I don't know why it happened. But you remember where you came from or where you could be. Think of that often. Consider yourselves, it says. Consider yourselves. And I want you to remember that as you're preaching. Let's go on down here and read just a little bit. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. I put my time in thinking that I had to cut everybody off and shut everybody up. Make sure I had the last word when I was preaching because I was a preacher. I put my time in doing that. Thinking that I have to buttonhole everybody that comes along. make sure I set up everything that anybody does out of order and had to fix it. And when somebody said something about God, I got mad. And I was ready to fight and argue, have strife. I'd get all caught up in preaching and want to just really let them have it and wind up being mad. I can contain myself. That still made me mad. I don't have any business being mad with another human being. Did you hear that? I don't have any business being mad with another human being. Someone who's Satan, just a pawn in Satan's hand, and all he wants to do is to get you mad. All he wants to do is get you upset. And you can really cut him down. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. We need to remember that while we're preaching and trying to warn this world, that very, very, very few people care. We've got one little worm on a hook in the middle of an ocean. And there's a lot of fish in that ocean. We're looking for the one that wants to bite. We don't have to force anyone. We don't have to convince everyone. We're looking for men who God is speaking to. We're looking for men and women that the grace of God that brings salvation is teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And we need to be in a position that when one of them come around, that we're ready to help them. We're not still fuming because of the last guy that left. And so we get pretty short with the next one and send him off. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach and patient. You young men, work on this. You old men, work on this. This is what we're preaching for. They're captives of Satan, and we're looking for people who want free. It's a real blessing last night. Just once in a while, you go and you preach and preach and preach. Nobody cares. Only everybody wants to argue and fight and fuss and yell or just pretend like they're with you. Last night we were walking along and two or three men were sitting in a little closed up cafe along the street there. And they stopped us and said, "We want to ask you a question." A lot of times it starts that way. They're just looking for a way to mock. We've seen it 1,000 times. But these men were pretty rough men. Sitting there. They weren't in the bars. They were just sitting there by themselves. One of them asked me, all of God's heroes, why were they all murderers in the Old Testament? Why is that? And I said, well, I don't know for sure. But I know that Jesus said to love your enemies. And to love your enemies, you can't kill them. And one of the men just kind of sat back. And, wow. He looked over at the other one. You could tell they've been talking among themselves. They're trying to figure something out here in all of this. All they see is this garbage. And he looked over and he said, did you hear that? And he said, what group? And I said, we're not with the denomination. We hate that. We're following Jesus. Church is a business. They're just trying to make money. It's phony. They put on a big show. And he looked at his buddy again and he, are you hearing this? This is what we've been talking about. We talked for a good little while. And the man said, you know, he said, I used to hate you people. I thought you were stupid idiots for what you're saying. I thought you were idiots. He said, I don't think that anymore. I don't think that anymore. And we talked for a while and the police came and we were in the private property and they made us leave. And the men got up and said, oh, no, they're here because we asked them to. And he said, it doesn't matter, they've got to leave. And so I said, well, you know, we're sorry. We're glad to move on. And anyway, the men got up and they started to leave. And they said, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work. This one man said he was a heroin addict, a drug addict. And so I was able to tell him, you know, that it isn't God that needs to forgive you. Satan, you're in bondage to Satan. And he can set you free. That's why Jesus came and just went through the whole, was able to go through the whole gospel with him. The gospel of deliverance and restoration instead of just God changing His mind about us. And he got up as we were talking, I said, you know, I work at a nursery. And there's sometimes there'll be a disease get on a tree. And I've got to take my pruning shears and just got to shear all the poison off just so the tree can stay alive. Do you know why God's heroes in the Bible kill people? It's because when Satan was in control before Jesus came and a man got bound in sin, there was no deliverance. And God's people were just pruning. They were pruning things that were going to kill humanity. So it looks bad, but it was because God cared for humans to preserve the race so they weren't all destroyed. He said, I understand that now. I see that. And as we were leaving, he said, God bless you, you're doing the Lord's work. And so they took off down the road and we followed them. I went on preaching again and pretty soon he turned around again and he said, God bless you, you're doing the Lord's work. All of them. And then he said, no, really, you're the real deal. You're the real deal. That's a blessing. To be able to see someone who's looking for truth and to be ready to give an answer that can help him. Not just a smart answer. Not just something that causes strife. Not just something that keeps the battle going. But saving yourself and being ready to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. That's what it's about. That's why we're preaching. not for the excitement. It's to look for those who are looking for truth. It's not because we can win the arguments. We can do better in the debate. But that we, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, preadventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, preadventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Don't get proud because you can say the right things. Humble yourself. And as you all go and preach, guard against those things. Guard against your weaknesses. Guard against those things that are dangerous to you. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep seeking for that next mountain. If we don't have these things, it don't matter what we accomplish. Get that character built. Let them tear you down. Let them flatten your pride. Let them do whatever they want to. But let it make you better. Let it make you a better man and a better woman. God's calling us to much higher things. Much higher. I just want to challenge you, especially you that are leaving now, are going to be the real deal. Satan will try to lift you up. Draw nigh to God. Humble yourself. Remember some of the lessons you've had to learn that were hard. Remember those. Remember those little points and barbs and things that you've had to deal with. Somebody said, remember them. I'll talk to Wilbur just a minute. Remember those things, brother. I've tried to be hard on you for a reason. Remember that book about the podunk. And some of those things that you got a little upset about. There's a lesson to be learned there. Remember those things. Be lonely. You'll be weak. You'll be overwhelmed. Let it make you better. Take the mountains. Children. Your wife. Your boys. Those that go up there. They don't want us there. There's a lot of people who don't want us there. Be what you need to be. Be what you need to be. That's what it takes. That's why Stephen, whenever they were stoning him, could look at him and say, "Father, forgive them." So what he had was deeper than just down the outside. Went all the way to his soul. It's who he was. Remember, as you apply these things to your Christian life, you be that man. Have fervent love one for another. Keep your eyes and your heart pure. Don't let bitterness overtake you. Forgive. Make that your life. Make that your life. Those things you struggle with, I still struggle with things too, but I'm not going to give up to them. And I'm not going to quit. I expect to struggle all my life with something. And I'm going to fail. But I'm going to get right back up by God's grace. Don't give up. May the Lord add His blessings. God bless you all. I don't know, I think the boys maybe this week are thinking about going. And Wilbur's going to go up in a couple of weeks. So, pray for them. You all pray for us. Go be a church where you're at. You'll be a church where you're at. Anyway. Well, anyone have anything you'd like to add to that? Here. All right. We'll meet back tonight at 6 o'clock. Anyone have any announcements, something you'd like to share? Okay. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us.
Help us be faithful to you. Lord, help us be what you want us to be. Lord, we just again praise you. Lord, for revealing yourself to us. Lord, we ask that you would help us be a light to this world. In Jesus' name. All right. Need the young boys need a little help, so if you all will, I don't know, 10 and up or so, 10 to 14. So, all right. All right, well, God bless you. We'll see you this evening.
Amen. Oh.